Greetings, brethren, on this Passover evening here. We're gathered here to observe the death of Christ because the Passover service is a memorial to his death. And yet, I don't know how many millions of people on the face of this earth who profess Christianity don't even seem to understand that at all. But you can see famous people in this world who are acknowledged as being great accomplishers of one thing or another, and they build big memorials and statues to them, but it's getting, I don't know of anybody that ever built a big statue and a memorial for Christ, but if you tried to do one nowadays in this country, it'd probably be forbidden. But let's take a few moments here to just acknowledge a few things we should be appreciative for as we're taking this Passover service now. Because if there's anyone who deserves the greatest acclaim and acknowledgement in this world, and will be in the future, that is Christ, for what he's done for us. So first of all, let's notice what we read in Matthew 18, verse 11. We read, "The Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." Now, various people in this world, they all accomplish things to save people's lives, but that's only temporary. So what we're looking at here, we're looking at something that far exceeds that, and we're looking at people who are candidates for salvation. We're talking here about being saved for all eternity. So that's the first thing we want to be aware of here by this sacrifice of Christ. In addition to that, he made this statement. He said in John 10, verse 10, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." So there's a double promise there. We're looking at two things. We're looking at life, and we can certainly say that that involves eternal life, but that we can have a more abundant and happy life here on this earth as well, if we recognize what is required for us. Now, he made this promise. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." So here's the promise that he made, that salvation was available for us, and there would be many, many rewards and blessings that would come as a result of it. Of course, this far supersedes the physical accomplishments that are done by men in this world, and as I stated earlier, certainly is not appreciated for what it really emphasizes. Now let's notice some of the things that Christ was willing to sacrifice. He said this, well, Paul's recording it in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse number 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." So here was the one who was the, should I say, executive creator of the universe, one with God and who was God and was the God of the Old Testament. And you talk about being rich, controlling and owning the whole universe, and yet he gave that up to take the place of a humble man. He became poor, and that through his poverty you might become rich. And he's talking about the riches now of what he can provide for eternal life in God's kingdom. Now, in addition to that, he went a step further. We read in Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, "Surely he has borne our griefs and he's carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes were healed." So the physical punishment that he took prior to his crucifixion was for the whole purpose of us receiving healing, providing we exercise faith and trust in him, which has become a very difficult and rare thing in this day and age in which we live. So there we go. We look at the fact that he emptied himself of this divinity he had. He gave up all that he had ruled and controlled in God's realm, and he suffered these afflictions and beatings, this beating that he took so we could be healed. As we read in Matthew 8, verse number 17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, quote, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So he took these things upon himself for our benefit and for our good. Now, there's two other areas here I want to just touch on lightly here. The first one is this. He who sanctifies. Now, sanctifies simply means to be set apart for a holy purpose. And it doesn't mean that you're saved. Sanctification doesn't refer to salvation. It refers to being set aside for a holy purpose. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So those who are sanctified and set apart by God are regarded by Christ as his brethren. And as we read in the scriptures, he's a firstborn among many brethren. And then the last thing I'll emphasize in bringing this to a close is Paul's statement here in Galatians 2, verse number 20. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ lives in him, that is, through the Holy Spirit. So we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and the goodness and the righteous accomplishments we are able to accomplish in our life is done by his Spirit, because human nature doesn't have that capability. So let's just be reminded of these things now as we take this Passover, and let's be appreciative of the things that Christ has done for us.